Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Judith Miller of the New York Times was sent to jail today. She refused to testify before a grand jury about her sources, and she defied a judge's civil contempt citation that ordered her to comply. Here's what Miller's boss had to say after she was taken to jail by federal marshals. This is New York Times executive editor Bill Keller.
Judy's determination to honor her professional commitment is not an attempt to put herself above the law. The choice she made is a brave and principled choice, and it reflects a valuing of individual conscience that has been part of this country's tradition since its founding.
All of this has to do with a disclosure of the name of CIA agent Valerie Plame. That disclosure was made to columnist Robert Novak and other journalists. Miller never wrote about the case, but Matthew Cooper of Time magazine did. He also faced the contempt of court and jail time today, but he agreed to testify. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik was at the courthouse today. David, what was the scene there like?
Well, there's been incredible scrutiny, international attention for this case, the sort of wrestling between government and the press. When Matthew Cooper finally emerged this afternoon, there was more than two dozen photographers taking pictures of him, just standing silently as sweat poured down his forehead for him waiting to speak. You know, Cooper and Miller walked by a phalanx of reporters in the hallways of the courthouse as they walked in, and there was a hush that descended upon them, knowing that they could be sentenced to jail. Indeed, Miller was let out by federal marshals, and it was quite a moment.
So Judy Miller is led out of the courtroom, off to jail. Matthew Cooper walks out the front door, speaks to reporters. Let's listen to a bit of what he had to say.
This morning, in what can only be described as a stunning set of developments, that source agreed to give me a specific, personal, and unambiguous waiver to speak before the grand jury.
So that call from Matthew Cooper's source is what made the difference here. It helps explain this very different outcome for these two reporters, Matthew Cooper and Judith Miller.
That's right. Cooper, you know, made a very dramatic sort of narration to the judge this afternoon where, you know, he said he had hugged his six-year-old son goodbye and he had said he didn't expect to see him for a long time. But it was in what was sort of an 11th-hour reprieve, he says he got a call from his source who released him from this promise of anonymity and allowed him to cooperate and go before the grand jury and testify. Now, this is different than what happened with Judy Miller. You know, her lawyer, Floyd Abrams, noted First Amendment attorney, came out and he told reporters this afternoon that, to his understanding, she hadn't spoken with her source in the 2 years since this episode occurred, and therefore it sounds as though she did not get any such personal release from her source to go ahead and identify him or her.
And not clear if it was the same source.
Never established.
And last week, Time magazine handed over a number of Cooper's notes and emails, which included his source's name. So wasn't that enough to protect him?
Well, it was interesting. Today, the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, said in court, told Judge Hogan, you know, having reviewed the documents, it's clear to us we need the testimony from Cooper, perhaps more so than in the past, he said. And Cooper was not somehow relieved of his obligation to testify. It got Time Inc. and Time magazine off the hook. He still had to come forward. He did admit to reporters in his remarks outside the courthouse that, in a sense, Time having turned over his notes and his emails completely compromised the confidentiality of his material. He said his source was identified to the government. He said the substance of his reporting was completely made evident. But at the same time, he wanted to hold to the promise, he stressed this again and again, that he had made and kept for over 2 years. And in that way, I think he was attempting to maintain his own professional integrity and reputation as he saw it, even though Time magazine had overcome his objections and turned over the material.
And the special prosecutor in this case, Patrick Fitzgerald, is it clear what underlying crime he's pursuing?
Well, the real question is, in certain cases, if a government official knowingly discloses the identity of an undercover intelligence agent, that's a federal crime. He's trying to determine if that happened. His argument is that there is sort of, the crime is witnessed by the reporters to whom the name and identity is disclosed, and there's no way to get around that. It's not clear whether he's going to charge anybody for that. There's been some speculation in legal circles that, in fact, what he's actually going after is the question of whether somebody committed obstruction of justice or if he can prove via these notes and subsequently Matthew Cooper's testimony that somebody lied under oath to him before the grand jury.
Thank you, David.
Good to be with you.
NPR's David Folkenflik.